y'all, it's Stephanie with Root to Seed. In this episode, we will review what we can be and should be doing over the winter to make our lives easier in the spring season. But first, I want to tell you our news. Since our last episode, we made the decision to remove the $15 annual membership fee, which included access to the resources in the member blog. This has been a tough year for everyone, and the last thing we want to do at Root to Seed is to make your self-sufficiency journey be financially difficult. After all, it should be saving you money, and this is one way we can give back after one of the most difficult years in many of our lives. In the member blog, which will now be known as the community member blog, there are a lot of resources, and I'm sure you'll have fun looking around. It's an open forum, so you can comment and share your ideas or questions, and I hope it helps us to build our Root to Seed community. In addition, we've enacted a loyal customer discount, which is a 10% off your entire purchase and a free pack of seeds. There's also a one-time referral discount of 10% and a free pack of seeds. Our chicks that were to be born February 10th were not, and so we'll be getting our new birds later in February instead. You can't mess with Mother Nature, so we just have to be patient. We also introduced the Open Heart Organic Loose Leaf Tea Blend. It's made with hibiscus petals, lavender, clove, orange zest, stevia, fennel, lemon balm, and licorice root. And these are available in the shop for $6 for a 6-ounce pouch of tea. Seeds are finally for sale. It was a long time coming, but we finally have our inventory figured out and each seed type separated and counted. Can you imagine counting tiny seeds? All I can say is it's tedious. These are our own heirlooms and some hybrid varieties. They'll be $2 a packet for hybrids and $3 a packet for heirlooms, and each packet will have 20 seeds. Check out our list in the shop at www.roottoseedonline.com and see if there's anything you need. And now that you have a good understanding of seed starting after listening to last week's episode, you should find something that you like. The COVID pandemic has proven difficult to secure interviewees, so we've decided that if we're unable to secure an interview, we will instead do a spotlight on a specific person or place that is of note in homesteading. Next week, our episode will be a spotlight, and right now, we'll be right back to talk about winter tasks. It's common for people to assume there isn't much to do in the winter that has to do with gardening. I mean, there's snow on the ground. What could possibly grow, right? While you may not actually be growing, there are many a task that can be done now. So when you're busy in the spring, you are happy you thought of this ahead of time. Now that there are those that can start growing indoors, that just adds to your potential tasks. Here at Root to Seed, we have about 10 flats of herbs growing, and we'll add about 10 more of more hardy vegetables. We're also growing microgreens outside in the cold frame. If you don't know what a microgreen is, they are the first seeds of plants like beets, arugula, broccoli, Swiss chard, at the stage where they are presenting their first leaves. These small leaves are harvested and used as salad, in salad, or as a top dressing for soups or main dishes. They are small but carry the same amount of nutrients as their larger siblings if you eat about a handful. Our cold frame is a wooden box with a slanted top, so the back is higher than the front, and the top of the box is a glass window on a hinge that can be lifted. This is a mini greenhouse, essentially, and works great for microgreens and lettuces in the cold seasons of fall, winter, and spring. But enough about us. Let's see how we can help you. I find breaking up winter tasks into categories is helpful. So for us, those categories are cleaning, inventory, learning, and planning. So let's start with cleaning. Just think of the things you're likely to use over the growing season. Your pots, tools, decor, bird feeder, waterer, and so on. All of these things should be cleaned and, more importantly, sanitized. If any of these items picked up any germs or parasites that will remain on tools for next season, that could be detrimental to your garden and your microclimate. We make a mix of equal parts water and vinegar and about 1 to 2 tablespoons of Dawn dish soap, the blue one with the duck on the label. We fill a large plastic bin about half full with the mix and place the items in the bin to soak. And once they've soaked for a few hours, overnight, for a week, whatever your preference is really, we then scrub off any debris or residue that's left, and then we set everything out flat to dry. We have a lot of items to clean, so we will do a few bins and take a day to go through everything. I must say, I quite enjoy picking up my most used tool and it looking good as new and ready to work. The bird feeders and waterers can be infiltrated with disease and mold. So while it seems like if you're putting dry seeds into a feeder, how could it get dirty? But the squirrels carry germs like it's their job, and they can easily be carried to the feeder and then to the birds. I don't want to be responsible for any bird deaths, so I clean the items they use. We'll be right back in a second to talk about inventory. Getting a good grip on inventory is an important step to ease your stress in the spring. Let's say you want to do a container garden. Well, you're going to need containers. So perhaps you think you have enough containers. So in spring, you get your plants and realize those 6 pots you thought you had are really only 4. So now you have these live plants with no containers. So you stop playing in the yard and have to go to get pots in the spring when everyone else is shopping for pots. If you ask me, I'd rather be in the yard. If in winter you had just counted the containers, you could have gotten what you needed over winter. Tools are another item to inventory. You may have forgotten things that broke or got lost or otherwise are needed, or things that you just want to try. It'll take but a few minutes to look over what you have, what you need, or what you like. And doing this in winter allows you to find the best price because you have some time to research prices as opposed to buying it in haste in the middle of the summer. Seeds are also an item to be inventoried. Seeds generally last about a year depending on storage. They should be kept in a cool, dry environment. See what seeds you have and what you might need. This will happen in conjunction with planning, which we'll talk about soon. I'm known for buying not only seeds I already have, but also multiple varieties of the same thing. Now I count first, and now I count for you and for me. The last inventory I do is the plants in my yard. I walk around and I look at the spots that might be sparse or need color or change. We plant using permaculture strategies, meaning that we interplant edibles with decorative plants. I'm also in the process of planting things other than grass in my front yard, but shh, don't tell my husband. In the area of learning, it's just what it sounds like. Winter is a great time to freshen up your self-sufficiency skills. Ever want to start sourdough? Now's the time to learn. I try to decide what I want to learn each year so I can really get a good grasp on the subject. Last year was bread baking. Now I need not buy so much bread from the market. Sewing or knitting are also good ideas for winter. Reading up on things you don't know or you want to know more about. Peruse the Root to Seed website. There's always something to take away. There's specific information that pertains to winter on the gardening page of the website. And I know you're already interested in learning if you're listening to the podcast. Finally, let's talk about planning. Truth be told, I'm no procrastinator, but garden planning always ends up being done at the last minute. I have literally had doing the garden plan on my to-do list since December. And do I have a garden plan today? No, it's still there on my to-do list. But I have a lot of seeds, I have a lot of ideas, and not a ton of real estate. So it will take some time to find the willpower to reduce what I want to grow based on the space that I have and how much of each crop to grow. For example, last year, our 3-pepper hot sauce was really popular and sold out quickly. So this year, I'll be planting more peppers. Garden planning takes me the most time, in part because I change my mind often, but also because there's always so much I want to do, but only a certain amount of space to do it in. Knowing this means I'll plant some of our garden beds to be square foot gardens, which allow me to grow more in a small space. We also use companion planting, and this takes a lot of planning to be sure we're putting plants that want to be together near each other, but away from those that may undo the benefits you're trying to achieve. Doing this planning as early as possible will allow you to make a plan. We usually draw ours out like a little map, and be better prepared come planting season. One last break before our final thoughts. I hope you enjoyed this winter check-in episode. We'll do these check-ins each season. In next week's episode, we'll have a spotlight. While you wait, though, check out the blog spot on www.roottoseedonline.com. There are a lot of resources. And remember, now it's called the Community Member Blog Spot, so all of you have access to it. You can also check out the extensive list of seeds we have available for sale. If you're enjoying the podcast, please leave a review and subscribe. Doing this really does help us bring you great content. Until next time, be kind to the planet, be kind to each other, and join our community.